Welcome to the Hills Baptist Podcast. We're so glad you're joining us as we see Jesus glorified, lives transformed, and hope revealed in the Adelaide Hills and beyond. We hope you enjoy this message.
Together, now, and forever. And a few of you in the room, and a few are all gay AM in the room, were a part of Hills Christian Community's production of High School Musical. And I'm not sure about if it was in my subconsciousness, but if you want a theme song for this message, it goes along the lines of, we're all in this together. Anyway, I won't go on anymore because I really can't sing and I'll get the words wrong. But together, now, and forever. We've been going through the book of 1 Peter, and this morning is our final chapter, final part of our series. There's a call for the Christians in Rome and the districts of the Roman Empire through persecution in the midst of a world that we just heard referred to as Babylon, speaking to the evil that's going on. Where pagan worship, idol worship, drunkenness, and sexual sin is rampant. Women are treated horrifically. Babies are often killed if they're not born as a male. And under the rule of Emperor Nero, Christians are being burnt at the stake for night tortures and fed to wild animals as entertainment. In the life of Simon, Jesus calls him to lead the Jewish people to himself. Jesus calls Simon and renames him Peter, meaning rock. And at the day of Pentecost, we see Peter name what the power of God is doing in the life of Peter and in the life of Jerusalem. Jerusalem is transformed at Pentecost, and many Jewish people come to know Jesus through the powerful demonstration of the Holy Spirit. But 1 Peter is written decades after Pentecost. And this letter is written to a wider Roman world where now the message of Jesus that started with the Israelites, started with the Jewish people at Pentecost, is now just not for one people group, but for all of humanity. Peter, along with others, are now called to support and testify this message to the Gentiles and beyond. 1 Peter 2, verse 9 to 10 says this, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Peter is writing to the Gentiles. He's writing to those who he wants them to understand because of Christ, this is who we are now. Foreigner, the one who's been downtrodden, the one who is considered unclean, that this message is for you. This message is for me. This message is for all of humanity. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, there's a shift here. Because in so much of the first few chapters, it's a call for how we're called to live. How we're called to live in this evil world. How we're called to live in Babylon, the Roman Empire. But in chapter 5, something shifts. There is a call for the church. It's now an inward call for this is how the people of God are called to live together, now and forever. I love when you read scripture because it's speaking to a specific time, a specific context, to the church in that area and that region. But when we read the pages of scripture so often, we see that this is so applicable to our time, to now the church, for our context. We see the language here. We see to the flock, all of you chosen together. And then when it says you, it's meaning yous, you all. That it's not a message to the individual, it's a message to the collective. It's a message to the group, it's a message to the crowd, it's a message to the church. Because so often we apply scripture to us individually, but that's not what this passage is about. It's about to us all together. What does it mean for us to step into this together? Not individually, not isolated, but as one, as the family of God, as a family of believers. Why do we want to prioritize a Sunday morning? Why do we want to come together each Sunday? Because there's something significant that God does when we're together in worship. Why do we harp on so much about home groups? Because we want to journey deeper together. Why do we want to do this together? Because we just read in this passage that life can be really challenging. Lee put it so well when he introduced that part of the song, that we're not saying that life is easy, but we're saying, hey, we're in it together. We're called to live differently. We're called to be set apart. We have our youth camp coming up, and I love youth camp, and I thought it was really fascinating that the biggest feedback we received last year was, can camp be a bit longer? And I thought to myself, us leaders are there for 5 days. The young people are there for 4 days. And by the end of camp, the Spirit of God's moving powerfully, but physically, we need some rest. And thank you so much for those of you who have said you're coming along to the quiz night on August 8th, and there'll be more opportunities to support our young people for camp. But why camp is so significant is because we have around 150 young people coming this year, about 40 leaders. And for 4 days, we intentionally seek God. For 4 days, we spend time praying together. For 4 days, we spend time worshiping together. And it's crazy that God shows up. Why are we so excited about Gathered in October later on this year? Because we know that when we come together to seek the face of God, He moves in power and He moves in might when we intentionally prioritize the presence of God as the family of God. We follow in the call of God, which is revealed in His word. Let me illustrate this a little bit more. A few years ago, I went to Africa. Bill and Norma are about to share later on the power of what God's doing in Africa through Australia Hope International and as a church there, one of our major mission partners. But for me, when I think of Africa, there's something specific that comes to my mind. And I went to South Africa and I went on a safari. And when you go on an African safari, there's one animal that stands above them all that you want to go and see. And this was like a self-guided tour. So it's me and my South African mate in a Golf, driving through the wilderness, the wildlife, and we saw rhinos, giraffes, zebras, wildebeests, buffaloes, elephants. And when you're seeing these ginormous animals and you're just in a little Golf, it's quite daunting. And I got told at Addo's Elephant National Park in Port Elizabeth in South Africa, I got told that there's lots of lions here. And I thought, this is what I'm here for. I want to see a lion. And if you turn your eyes to the screen, you'll be able to see me and a lion. Unfortunately, this was the closest that I got. I got told that lions had been sighted that day. I even found a sign that said, lions are here. I got out of my car and took a photo out of irony. I did have a good look around before I hopped out of my car to take the photo. But unfortunately, I didn't see any lions that day. But what I do want to show you is a video of a lion hunting its prey. I think this video is so fascinating because what the lion does is it tries to isolate the zebra. The lion's not going for the whole pack. But what does a lion try and do? It tries to hunt the weak, the vulnerable, the sick, the young one, and it tries to scatter the flock. And what this lion does is it isolates one in particular and tries to pounce on that in particular young zebra. I know. There was no warning there before I showed that video, was there? When you're struggling, so often it can be hard to stay in the pack. When we're struggling, so often we want to isolate ourselves. When we're struggling, so often it can be really hard to come into a space like this. When we're struggling, sometimes we want to go alone. We want to go our own way. What happens to wildlife in Africa when they isolate themselves from the pack, when they isolate themselves from the herd? Verse 7 says this, "Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." When it speaks about casting all your anxiety, casting all your stresses, all your worries, bringing all these things to the feet of Jesus, what does it say? The call is to do it with others. The call is to bring it before others. The call is to ask others to stand in faith with you together. It's not an individual call. It's not to say, hey, I'm struggling, so I'm going to go to God myself. It's to say, hey, I'm struggling and I need people around me. I need people to come beside me and call on Jesus with and for me. What do buffaloes, what do wildebeests do? They put the youngest in the middle of the flock. They put the sick, the struggling in the middle of the pack and they protect them. What would it look like for us to be a church family who that would be our heart, that the lost, the downtrodden, the brokenhearted, that we would gather around them, that we would protect them from those who try to take, steal, kill, and destroy? The lion wants to isolate. The enemy wants to put the lie in our own minds that we're not this, or this is too much for other people, or you can't bring this before other people, or if people really knew you. No, that's a lie, because in the house of God, we want to bring things to the light. We want to cast all our anxiety on him because he cares for us. And we want to do that with others, journeying together. The call is not for us to do this alone. Luke spoke to the research so powerfully last week that the biggest need for those struggling with mental health is community. The call for us as a church family is to be that community, to be that pack, to be that herd, to be that flock, to protect one another. I want to do a little analogy to help picture this, but at Allgate AM, I need your help. So we're going to have Poppy Reed, Matt Williams, and Judy Baird, can you all stand up at Allgate AM right now? Yes, right now, all three of you, and stay standing. Because sometimes in life, we decide that community is too hard, being the family of God's too hard, and we would rather do it ourselves. But you see, a bow and arrow only works properly if you pull it back. But often life without community, life not doing it together, we never reach our God-given potential. We never reach how God has called us to live. 1 Peter chapter 5 is speaking to the church who's suffering, speaking to the church in Babylon, which metaphorically speaking to the church where there's so much evil and so much going on. And the call to the church then and the call to the church today is to live together now and forever. Poppy, Matt, and Judy, I hope you're still standing, because what I'm going to do is our life with Christ, we're called to reach our God-given potential, and we do that together now and forever. And it's like a bow and arrow being used properly, being pulled back. And in a moment, I'm going to shoot this all the way to Allgate, and I want you three to catch the arrow. That's your challenge, because I'm going to shoot it all the way to Allgate, which I think is about a 6-minute drive that way and not sure, a few kilometres. But you see, when we walk out the call of God in our lives, when we pull back the bow and arrow and when we fire it and we shoot it, we reach new heights and new level and a new potential that we've never seen before. Poppy, Judy, and Matt, you can sit down. Sheila, I'm sorry that the rebound off the back wall went so far. It went to Allgate and back onto Sheila's head. Sorry, Sheila, please forgive me this morning. My first point was together. My second point is now. as we read this, it's written to a specific cultural moment, but it's so applicable to our cultural moment. Verse 1 to 4. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's suffering, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over them, but entrusting to you and being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. In the Roman Empire, where there is a patriarchal, domineering, unjust leadership system, Peter calls the church to be different. He calls the elders. But as you read this, yes, it's for the elders in our church today, but it's also for the leaders. It's for all who want to have influence, for all who want to be used by God. Older saints in the house, those who have journeyed with Jesus for longer than I have, we need you. We need your wisdom. We need your prayer. We need your mentorship. Older saints, get around our kids, get around our youth, get around our young adults. Invest in the generations. Cover us in our church family. Help protect what God is doing here. Set the example. Who does a lion normally go for? He goes for the young. She goes for the young, the injured, the sick, the ones separated from the herd. It always breaks my heart when a young person's struggling, and because of that, we stop seeing them on a Friday night. And then quite often when they get out of habit, get out of routine, then there's a shift of friendship groups. We message them, we reach out to them, and often hear nothing back. And it grieves my heart when I then see things online or hear from friends that they don't want anything to do with faith anymore because they've isolated themselves, because they've stepped away. But my prayer for the young people in the house here at Hills Baptist Church is that their story would be growing up in the church. They've received the love of God. They've heard about the love of God. They've encountered the love of God. They've known the love of God for themselves, and they've seen it in their church family, and they couldn't help but want to stay with the pack. They couldn't help but want to stay together, because when they would go into the world, when they would go into their sporting clubs, when they would see things happening at their school, they would say, no, I know a community that is different. I know a community that is set apart. I know a community that has life and life to the full, and I know a community that's got my back, and that's what I want to be a part of. I don't want our young people's testimony to go, hey, I left the flock, I left the pack, and there was wild and vicious animals out there, and there was so much hurt and pain and so many wounds that I'm carrying, and now I'm coming back, but I'm in so desperate need of healing because of all the things that have happened to me. That's not my prayer for our young people, because I know that there's some older saints in the house that's your story, but you don't want that for the next generation, because you know the journey of healing that God's had to take you on. Yes, we know the gospel message is that Jesus brings healing. Yes, we know that all who are far off, all who have been isolated, all who have been hurt and maimed, the call is to come and come back into the fold, to come and receive healing and be cared for and journeyed with. Yes, that is the gospel message. But I'm speaking to our young people for a moment, that in this house, this is what we want to speak over you. And yes, there's some people in the room who I know have been hurt by the church. I know us as a leadership team aren't perfect, but boy, we desire to follow this. We desire to follow God's word and God's example, to do it together now and forever. 6 years ago, I was tapped on the shoulder by our senior pastor, Dave Shepherd. And we didn't have a governing council. Angela Jolly wasn't the chair of the governing council. We didn't have many policies or procedures like we do now. Let's just say things are run a lot better now than they were when I first started. Praise be to God. And how my interview process went was Dave tapped me on the shoulder one day and said, would you like to be the youth pastor? Pray about it. I said, whoa, I was 21 at the time. It was a big thing. And he said, I'll get you around and we'll have the elders and some of the key youth leaders and we'll go for a swim. Who's ever gone to a swimming pool for an interview? So it was the elders, some of the key youth leaders at one of the youth leaders' houses, and we got told to bring our bathers, but nobody went swimming. I thought, peculiar? So we didn't go swimming, but we were at a pool party. But what I noticed, despite the strange interview process, I noticed the love that the elders had for one another. At that point, we were in Little Hampton, just about to move to Hills Christian. And I could see that there was a desire to follow Jesus. And I hadn't seen it before in elders who were just great friends with one another. Elders who just loved the church and loved each other. And there was a sense of deep, committed, passionate love for this church family. And I thought, this is a church family that I want to be a part of. This is a church family who doesn't seem to have all the policies and procedures in order, but they seem to have what's most important in order. And the elders have caught a powerful vision. And I hadn't quite seen it in an eldership team like that. And I thought, I want to be a part of this. And I really felt a calling by God to step into this space. Yes, I had an official interview where I was the only one interviewed and I got the job and I'm here now. But I will never forget that time in the Gamrawi's backyard where their pool was, and there was just a great sense of love from the elders. And I don't know about you, but I've been so blessed by the older generation, by the elders in our church who love this church family, who care for this church family, who support this church family. When I got hired, there were so many youth parents, so many people in generations older than me, get around me, support me, care for me, pray for me, love on me. And I'm so grateful for our church family. And I know that's true in all of our campuses. So let's continue to be the church. Let's continue to step into that. I want to tell you what the older generations have done for me in my life. 3 months ago yesterday, Rosie and I got married. Praise God. Thanks to many of you in the house and at Allgate who have prayed for this for many years. But on our wedding day, we had our ceremony at my old church, which we got to invite a lot of our young people, and it was a really special time. And we had a bit of a smaller reception. There was something that God put on my heart for a few years that I got to do at my reception. And I had tears in my eyes, and I said to all the men in the room who are over 40 years old, I said, can you all stand up? And then I said, and stay standing. And I said to them, growing up without a dad, none of you have ever replaced the role of dad in my life, but I've seen God put all of you in my life. When I didn't believe in me, you guys spoke life and spoke truth, spoke giftings over me, stood with me, cared for me. I knew that I was never alone, and I always had older men in my life to go to turn to. And as I saw the men in the room standing there, I could see in their eyes that they were moved, that some of them were in tears and some of them came up to me later about this special and significant moment. But I simply wanted them to know that the reason why I'm here today is because of them. The reason why I am who I am today is because men spoke truth, spoke life, and got around me. And I want to be one of those people for our church family. I want to be one of those people for the generations in our church because I've received it and it's marked me in a deep and a profound way. The call is us together in this hour, together now. Who stood up? Uncles, cousins, family, friends, youth leaders, old youth pastors, faithful saints in our church family. They saw past my brokenness and saw the call of God in my life. leaders, the call is to sacrifice, to serve, and to be submitted to God, and to champion the people God has placed in your care. Verse 5-9 says this. For this reason, nope, that's 2 Peter, wrong page, Ben. 2 Peter, verse 5. In the same way, you who are younger, we're transitioning now, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. How did they know that the family of God around the world was going through the same kind of suffering? Because they were connected. Tim Keller puts it this way: wisdom is making decisions today that you will be happy with in the future. There is a call for the young people to stay in the pack. Wisdom is learning from others' mistakes. So how do we do this? We're being called to submit to God's way. And when we do this, what's the call for us now? To be clothed in humility, to shepherd others, to be honest, to seek others' gain, to serve and to champion others, to be that bow and arrow pulled back and fired, not like the bow and arrow that has no strength, that has no witness, that has no power, but walking into God's purposes. Let me read verse 8 and 9 again, because there's something on this that we need to take to heart. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. Romans 10 verse 3 says this: since they did not know the righteousness of God and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. James 4, 7 and 8, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. In Romans, Paul was writing to the church in Rome, telling everyone, the Israelites, when Christ came, many of them didn't want to submit to him. They wanted to go their own way, follow their own path, and it led to destruction. A few years later, Peter is writing to the Roman Empire in Rome. He's speaking about the power of submitting to God in all areas of life. What does it say? The enemy prowls around like a roaring lion. He is an imitator, the counterfeit, a pretender. And he only has the power if we give it to him, if we believe the lie that the darkness has overcome us or the darkness is too strong for us. What did James 4, 7 and 8 say? Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Where is our power? Where is our strength? When the church family says, we're going to stake our lives upon this word, us as a church family, we are going to be grounded on the truth. We're going to first go to God. We're going to go to the source. We're going to go to our strength. We're going to go to where our power is found. And then in doing that, we're going to fight our battles. In doing that, we're going to resist the devil. In doing that, we're going to fight the lies that so easily plague our minds. In doing that, we're going to fight our struggles and our temptations, and we're going to see victory because we're first submitted to God. Why so often can we not fight these battles? Because we resist to submit. We resist to submit, and we never see the strength of submission. We resist submitting to God because we would rather turn our attention, our affection on other things. But we have to submit to resist, not resist the submit. Let me say that again. We have to submit to God to resist the enemy. We have to submit to resist rather than resisting to submit. That's the call of God for us. Why? Because we are the chosen people, the people of God, the royal priesthood, the holy nation, God's special possession, that we may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful life. Jesus trampled the serpent's head. Jesus took on the spiritual forces of this world. He took on evil. He took on darkness on our behalf. He took on death and reversed the curse for all of humanity. He did it so together now we could be called children of the way, the truth and the life. So we could be children of the light, the family of God, because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Jesus is the light of the tribe of Judah. Jesus is the King of all kings, the one who's brought victory on the cross in his name. And what is our call? To submit to him, to lay down our agenda, to lay down our selfishness, to lay down our own ego, and in humility saying, Lord, your way is the only way. Submission is letting go and holding on. Letting go to our own pride, our own ego, our own selfishness and saying, God, I'm clinging on to you. God, I'm clinging on to your word. God, I'm clinging on to what you have to say about me, about this world and about the church. Band, you guys can come up. I want to finish with my third and final point. Band at Allgate, you can come up as well. Forever, together, now and forever. Verse 4-5. And when the chief shepherd appears, this is talking about Jesus coming back, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade. Verse 11-12. Actually, let's go verse 10. And the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ after you have suffered a little while will himself restore to you and make you strong and firm and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. There's a call to do it together now and forever. Why? Because what we do in this place, what we do this morning is what we are going to do for all of eternity in glory, worshiping together, praising the name of Jesus together, lifting the name of Jesus on high together. That every earthly achievement, every earthly crown, the Bible speaks about being meaningless in the light of his glory, in the light of the crown of glory that we will receive. And if we're on our knees surrendered to him, bowed down in awe and reverence, any earthly crown just naturally falls off. This is a challenge for me. This is something that I need to be challenged in by my church family. To remember what's really important, to remember what matters most. What's the challenge for you for your earthly crowns that maybe you're too focused on? Whether it's school or uni grades, whether it's your bank account or your perceived worth at work, as a parent, how well your kids are going, sporting achievements, and the list goes on. When we submit to God, what we're saying is we're laying those things down and saying, God, you're number one in my life. This morning, there's an opportunity to respond. An opportunity to respond in worship, an opportunity to respond in prayer. We want to give you an opportunity. Maybe you're feeling the pull to let God lead you to be the under-shepherd under Christ, the one true shepherd, to cover and to stand in faith over people in this house. Maybe you've gone away from the flock and you want someone to stand and pray with you because you know that there's healing in the name of Jesus. Maybe there's things that you've struggled to resist from, that you've struggled to fight on your own, and standing with someone to say, hey, I want to submit to God in this so I can fight this temptation, so I can fight this struggle. Maybe there's things that you've been too focused on, and in the light of eternity and forever and His glory, that when we bring these things to God, we know that really our earthly crowns don't matter and God gives us a new perspective. So at Allgate AM, I'm going to pass it over to Pastor Denby to lead this response space. So you guys can hop off the live stream. God bless you. Here at Verdun, what we're going to do is, in a moment, the worship team are going to play. I'm just going to ask right now the elders, any pastoral staff, any of our house leaders, our deputy leaders or house captains, if you guys could hop to both sides. We just want some of the leaders in our church family to stand in faith with you and pray over you. Because we know the power in prayer. We know what it means to struggle. We know what it means to be alone. But we also know what it means to be embraced by a loving family who can call on the name of Jesus with us. So our prayer team this morning just wants to speak the name of Jesus over what might be going on. Maybe you have a sense that there's leadership things going on in your life that you want someone to stand and speak over you. Maybe there's struggles going on. Maybe there's temptations that you're working through. I don't know what's going on, but what I do know is when we bring these things to God, things change. When we bring these things to God, He has the final say. When we expose the enemy's lies and we bring these things to the light, we see the light of His glory. So why don't you stand with me and we're going to pray together and there'll be an opportunity to go to the people on the sides and receive prayer, an opportunity to respond in worship. King Jesus, we thank You that You call us to journey together. Would You help us to walk out this walk together? Father, would You give us our eyes on eternity, our eyes on what isn't seen but what is unseen? Father, we want to understand what it means to do this together. Father, so easily we can struggle and do it alone. Father, we want to do this together. Would You pour out Your Spirit on our church family? Help us to love one another more. Help us to be real and honest and vulnerable and authentic. King Jesus, we pray that You would break our hardened hearts. Would You expose what's going on in our hearts? And would You bring Your healing into areas of our lives, into all areas of our lives? So Holy Spirit, would You just come? King Jesus, would You be on the throne? King Jesus, we want to see You high and lifted up in this house, in this place, this morning, both now and forever. In Jesus' mighty name.
Thanks for listening to the Hills Baptist Podcast. If you'd like to partner with us in developing and equipping passionate disciples who love God, love people, and boldly share the gospel, you can do that at hillsbaptist.com/giving. We pray this message has empowered you to live and love more like Jesus. Have an amazing day.